Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
And we are live from Lumiere Place in downtown St. Louis. I know we don't sound technically as beautiful as we usually do. I have a little bit of a technical problem here, but the show must go on, right?
Absolutely. Let's see what we can do, guys.
Tonight we're going to be joined by Chris Moneymaker, the winner of the 2003 World Series of Poker main event. We also have Joe McGowan, the poker coach. We've got Kat Kowal from Dream Team Gaming to explain the concept of team poker, and in particular, Dream Team Poker. And we've got a free roll to announce for all of our listeners. In fact, let's do that right off the top.
Absolutely. PokerStars.net. It's going to be a free roll tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Nothing to cost to get onto it, and $1,000 for first place.
$1,000 for first place, $500 for second place. We've got a weekend package at Lumiere Place for third place. Our friends at Armini's Home Rugs and Game Room have donated a chip set, which will go to our fourth place finisher. And after that, you're filling out stuff for everybody else at the final table, right?
Right. Signed hats or whatever for everybody from 5 through 9. And don't forget that Lumiere package, a nice package. I think it's a two-night stay and meal over at the Savoy, and I'm not sure what all else, but they put together a nice little package for us.
Yeah, they did. This is absolutely free, and if you want to play, you've got to download the PokerStars software from PokerStars.net, and you set up your own account with your own name and your own password, and then you go to the tournaments section on PokerStars, and then you click on regional. Because PokerStars has set this up for our listeners in Missouri and Illinois. You click on regional, and then you just scroll down to the event that goes on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, although on the PokerStars clock, it'll say 8 o'clock, 2000, to go by East Coast time. But you'll see it'll say Dennis Phillips Free Roll, and once you're there, you just double-click on that, and you can register, and you can be a part of it, and you'll be playing against both Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris and everybody else. There. We have no idea how many people are going to be on there, right?
Well, absolutely not, but they put a target on my back, too. I guess they now have a bounty on my head. Whoever gets to knock me out gets a nice, this beautiful jacket from PokerStars and a deluxe chipset that they're going to award to them.
Very nice little bounty. So it's absolutely free to you. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central Time is when this tournament will begin, but registration is open now. And if you would like to be a part of it, you have plenty of time to get in there, get your PokerStars account opened up. Again, won't cost you a penny. That's why we call it a free roll. And you can play against us tomorrow night. And we'll have more details on that in the next 24 hours or so.
Again, it doesn't take long. 3 minutes will get you set up on PokerStars.net. Tabs at the top of the page. You go to tournament. Second level, you go to regional. There's only like 10 regional ones. It's really easy to find.
All right. We'll look forward to seeing you on there. While we're talking about tournaments, I want to congratulate a guy from St. Louis by the name of Pat Walsh. Dennis and I both know Pat from playing against him in the poker rooms here, although we haven't seen him lately because, frankly, I think our games in St. Louis have gotten a little small for Pat. He's been traveling around to tournaments around the country, and last weekend was out in Los Angeles at the LAPC, the Los Angeles Poker Classic, where Dennis was, and we talked about that on last week's show. But while we were doing last week's show, Pat was advancing to the final table. And because this is a WPT event, that means he made it to the final six, which means he'll be on TV.
Absolutely.
We don't know when, do we?
No. It's usually it's a month or two later before they can actually get it edited and taped and put in there. But Pat will be on the air. We'll get to see his funny little face up there along with my little funny little face. So
yeah. So Pat made the final table and came in fifth place.
Yes.
Which was a nice finish of $310,000.
Not bad.
Here's the sick thing about this. Hold'em is not Pat's best game. He has a national reputation as being a fantastic pot limit Omaha player. So we're really, really happy for him with his finish there. And we know when he comes back to town, he'll get even less action from us than he ever did before.
We'll probably be trying to talk to him in the next few weeks. So he's a really good guy, and he's an excellent poker player. Just one of the many that are here in St. Louis.
Yeah, we've really developed a pretty good reputation. You and Dan Nassif and Pat Walsh and another friend of ours, Pat McMillan, who won a PLO event out at the LAPC. St. Louis has been very well represented in big events. Speaking of big poker, did you watch high-stakes poker on Sunday night?
I absolutely did. It was awesome.
After having Maury Eskandani, the executive producer, on the show last week, I was really looking forward to it, and it did not disappoint. Now, I've got to ask you, because we're used to seeing Doyle Brunson and Daniel Negreanu and Barry Greenstein and Elia Lesra, and they were there, kind of the old-school, old-guard players.
Absolutely.
But so were some of these new young guns, including a guy named Tom Dwan, whose nickname is Durr, because that's the name he uses online, who played about 80% of the hands. He did not seem intimidated and willing to play almost any two cards. Also at the table was your, I don't want to say enemy, but your buddy from the World Series of Poker main event final table, Peter Eastgate, the man who finished first and took down the $9.1 million first prize. What was funny to me was, here's Tom Dwan, a guy who made his reputation online, against Peter Eastgate, a guy who won the biggest in-person event in the world of poker, and it was Peter Eastgate who looked scared out of his shorts. Or did I read it wrong?
You didn't read it wrong at all. I actually talked to Peter after, this was taped earlier and now it's being aired. I talked to him afterwards, and he said he didn't know what to expect. He went in there just a little bit, you know, gun-shy, shall we say, and you saw some of the first hands he got to play, and he was definitely gun-shy. He gets a little better later on.
I understand that what we saw Sunday night was actually not the beginning of the three-day session, but towards the end of the three-day session. It was the third of the 3 days. So why he wasn't ready for what was going on there, and in particular the hand where both he and Durr turned trip sixes. Durr had 6-7, and Peter had 6-ace. Why he didn't raise, why he didn't put more money in, surprised us as viewers.
Oh my God,
and really surprised all those players at the table, including Durr.
Oh, yeah, the reaction he had there was basically his eyes got big, and he looked at it, and was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, he could see getting beat, maybe, but no way, A6? Wow.
Didn't he say to him afterwards, you could have had about $125,000 more?
That's the figure he used. He threw that out. And I guarantee that if you were there, I know if I was there, there would have been a bet on the river.
Now, what did you think about the way that Doyle and Ellie were kind of treating Durr at the table? Because he has a reputation not just for playing a lot of hands, but taking a lot of time every time it comes to him and he has to make a decision. They were on him for that.
These are the pros. These are the guys that sit there for the last 10 years. I guarantee Doyle's going to try and figure some way to get information from you, to get under your skin, to get you a little riled, to change your game. He's a sly old fox, let me tell you. He was in there trying to get information about this guy.
So you think that was a little psychological operation on their part?
Guarantee it.
Knock him off his game?
There you go. Make him a little nervous in front of the camera. This is a young kid who hadn't been on the camera, had never played at this level with these kind of players before. Yeah, he was trying to do something to change his game.
Well, Durr lost money in that session, but if he keeps playing as many hands as he does and keeps changing gears the way he does, I think that some of these old guns are in for a little bit of a shock from him, don't you?
Didn't you hear some of Doyle's comments over there? We never used to play those cards. You know, how the heck do they play these things?
Although I've also heard him say that the way Durr plays now as a guy in his early 20s is kind of the way that Doyle played when he was in his early 20s, shock and awe of the table by playing so much and surprising them and changing gears.
There you go. And remember the hand that Doyle's known for, that monster hand that everybody wants, 10 deuce.
Absolutely right. All right, this is the Lumiere Place final table. We're live from Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis. By the way, Dennis and I were over at the hotel doing a little photo shoot this afternoon because they're going to put us up on the big sign outside the place. I think it's a desperate effort to drive business away, putting our faces up there. But if you've never stayed at the Lumiere, Hotel Lumiere, they call it, you can go to Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, click on the ad, the banner ad right at the top of the page, and book a room here for $109 a night. which in downtown St. Louis is a damn good price.
Yeah, I think actually the reason that you're making the announcement here is a public service announcement to warn everybody when they're driving down I-70 not to look at the sign or beware when you do. All right.
Yeah, and warn the small children in your car. You might see Paul and Dennis's face up on the sign. But then come on inside and have a great time. They've got poker tournaments 7 days a week. There's one going on in the poker room right now. They've got blackjack tournaments here every Wednesday. They've got terrific restaurants, and it is the place to play in downtown St. Louis, the Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel, sponsors of the Final Table here on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. We're right back to talk about Dream Team Poker after this.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
It's Paul Harris and Dennis Phillips live at Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis. And before we get to our guests, this portion of the show is brought to you by Broadway Truck Center. Proudly displayed on the shirt that Dennis wore at the Final Table at the World Series of Poker last summer and in November, and he's wearing it here today during the Final Table.
Absolutely. I was down there working today. I keep getting asked, are you still doing the same job? Yes, I am, folks. I am down there and happy to be down there. Got a group of friends. We're having a lot of fun, and it's just a great place to work. One of the recent things that we've done is expanded the body shop down there. So if you do happen to have one of those little fender benders when you see our face on I-70, yeah, we can take care of it down there at Broadway Truck Centers. 1507 South 7th Street. Go to BroadwayTrucks.com to check our inventory, to check our service hours. We are open till midnight, six nights a week, and we are also open on 7 o'clock in the morning. So come on down there for anything, body shop work, service work, rentals, sales, parts, you name it, we will take care of it for you.
All right, we're joined now by Kat Kowal. Kat is the director of business development for a company called Dream Team Gaming. They are the people behind an event that's coming up at the end of this month at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas that Dennis and I are looking forward to being a part of. It's called Dream Team Poker. Kat, welcome to the Lumiere Place Final Table.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, how you doing, Kat?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Enjoying the weather out there, are you?
It's beautiful and sunny and warm, so it's much better than most of the rest of the country, yes.
We're a little bit jealous. Tell us exactly what Dream Team Poker is. I've been playing poker as a solo player for so long, it's hard for me to understand what team poker might be like. Can you explain it?
Sure. Well, the good news is that it won't change your mind. Like, you don't have to change your playing skills because you've been playing as an individual all this time. Dream Team Poker is a new team-based structure and scoring system for tournament poker. Dream Team Poker, we've come up with a patent-pending scoring system that allows players to compete on an individual basis and a team basis, so you get scored twice. Traditionally, you get only paid out as an individual in a team in a tournament. This is your opportunity as a team to get paid out a second time. So players walk away with twice the opportunity to get paid in the tournament.
Okay, so let's say Dennis and Joe McGowan, the poker coach, and I are going to make up our team when we come out there at the end of the month. Does the one of us who finishes the highest, is he the one who's going for the money, or do we get points based on where each of us places, or how does that work?
Each team player earns a score representing your ranking. So let's say there's 300 people in that tournament and you go out first. You just gave your team 300 points. The good news is that even though you gave your team a lot of points because the goal is to actually have as few points as possible, the team score is accrued from the best two players' individual scores. So let's say you came in 300th, but Dennis makes the final table and the other gentleman you said was going to play, he makes 15th, you actually just won the team part of the tournament with 16 points. Does that make sense? It's pretty
simple. Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah,
but here's the most important question, Kat. Let's say that Joe and Dennis get knocked out on horrible suckouts by some other player, and I happen to outlast them. Can we do a tag team thing where I turn to Dennis and say, you know what, I may be the last man standing of our team, but I want you to play for me?
Well, he can't play for you, but we do have a very cool element that's provided for the players on the second day when we were down to three tables. There's a timeout policy where each team receives two timeouts. They're 90 seconds long, and if your teammate is busted at that point and the action is on you to play, you can take a timeout and actually discuss the hand and your action with the busted player on your team. So you might not be able to have Dennis sit in that chair for you, but you will be able to see what he would do in your situation.
Cool. Well, this is actually looking pretty good. You've already got 72 teams registered? Good grief.
Yes, and our goal is 100, so I hope it's going to be a problem where we actually go over our 100 team
goal. Well, it looks like it. Well, I mean, you're a month away from this, and you already got three-quarters of the team signed up. With the prize pool you got there, I mean, you're talking about $150,000 in the prize pool?
Yep. It's a $500 per player entry plus $50, so it's $1,650 a team. And another really cool thing about this event is that each team, if they sign up ahead of time on our website, you get a personalized jersey with your team name. So you have to come up with a team name. We make the jerseys for you. We give them to you the day before the tournament, and you play the event in the jerseys.
I'm thinking Team Paul.
Well, I'm thinking a little different than that, but I'm also thinking you have some real interesting names. You turn three poker players loose and let them at 3 o'clock in the morning come up with a name. Can you even imagine?
Well, we've already had some really interesting names. We had a first team from our first event called the Jedis. They're coming back as the Return of the Jedis. We probably have some names that you probably don't want me to say on your radio show, but we also have a returning team called the Dirty Tacos, and we have Los Chingones, which means like hardcore. It means something or other in Spanish, like to that effect. Probably, again, another thing you want me to talk about on your radio show over the air, but there are a lot of really fun names. We totally invite creativity with your team name. Team Paul, we could work with that, but, you know, maybe
we can do a little better than Team Paul, I think. But
you got to come up with something.
In other words, you get to go out there with two great friends of yours, have a blast for a weekend, play a lot of good poker with other people, and possibly win money. Okay, I'm trying to see a downside to this.
It's hard to see a downside. And you have a weekend in Vegas at Caesars. Yeah,
what was the
really
weather out there
time.
Again?
It's going to be sunny and warm.
Yeah. All right, so it's the last weekend of March at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. And for people who want to sign up, give them the website.
It's dreamteampoker.com.
Pretty simple. Kat Kowal, thanks for joining us here on the Lumiere Place Final Table. We look forward to seeing you at the end of the month.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, Kat.
We're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back with Chris Moneymaker, the winner of the 2003 World Series of Poker main event. But first, a word about Ron Bredell, who's got a company called Bredell Remodeling. This is the company in the Metro East to call when you need a new bathroom or a new room on your house or any kind of addition. You call Ron and his crew to redesign it for you and then build it for you from floor to ceiling, from wall to wall, from new cabinets to new accoutrement of any kind. You go to the website athomewithron.com. You'll find a company that has won awards for doing great interiors over the years, a company that is famous in the Metro East for its personalized service to its customers. You don't stay in business as long as Ron has stayed in business unless you've got customers telling other customers how good you are. That's what Bredell Remodeling does. Go to the website, athomewithron.com, find out what they can do to make your home even better. And particularly in this housing market, with people not putting their homes on the market because they just don't think they can sell, or not being able to get a home sold because it's been on the market too long, a lot of people are deciding to fix up the home they live in, and that's where Ron specializes. Go to that website, athomewithron.com, and find out more about Bredell Remodeling. We're back with more of the Lumiere Place Final Table and Chris Moneymaker right after this on 590 The Fan KFNS at KFNS.com.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right now, Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with 2-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 in Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
It's Poker on Your Radio. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS. Now, here are two guys giving off reverse tells and trying to take your stack, Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris.
Operating with a little bit of a technical difficulty tonight, but still going on with the show here at Lumiere Place, and brought to you by Poker Stars, which is hosting our free roll tomorrow night for listeners of the show and readers of Dennis's blog, which is online at thechipleader.com. Give the details of the free roll again for people who want to play.
That will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time. All you need to do is log on to PokerStars.net. It should take about 3 minutes if you're not already signed up with PokerStars. Go to the Tournament tab, and then go to the Regional one. There's only like 10 or a dozen different regional ones going on. Just look for my name on there, Dennis Phillips. Double-click on it, and sign up. What you need to do there, they'll ask you for a password. The password is Cardinals.
Now, that's not the password that you use to sign up for a PokerStars account.
Correct.
That's something different. We would never ask for you or tell you what your password there should be. But when you get to the actual tournament registration, you need to know that the password for that is Cardinals.
That's with an S on the end, Cardinals on that. And anyhow, first place is 1,000, second place 500, third place is a sweet little package from Lumiere down here. Fourth place, Amini's, has got a deluxe Texas Hold'em chipset, and then we have other prizes for fifth through ninth.
Some of which have a Cardinals theme, correct?
Absolutely.
Plus, there's that bounty on your head.
Oh, yeah, they remind them of that, didn't you? Thanks a lot.
Am I eligible, by the way, because I'm going to be the one who knocks you out, so what am I going to win?
I don't know. If you win it, I might order a different size jacket or you can't fit.
Thank you.
Have some fun with it. Anyhow, I think we have Chris on the line.
I believe we do. Here's the 2003 World Series of Poker main event, the man whose name became synonymous with not only getting into the World Series of Poker from Poker Stars and is still affiliated as a member of Team Poker Stars Pro, but a man who still plays on the tournament circuit. In fact, back in January when I was down in Tunica for a WSOP circuit event there, I saw Chris playing in a PLO game before he was heading off to the tournament hall to play in a big tournament there, and I understand he pulled down a nice chunk of change while he was there. Chris Moneymaker, welcome to the Lumiere Place Final Table.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Hey, how you doing there, Chris?
Good, Dennis. How are you doing?
Trying to remember. I know I saw you. We played the same table over in London. I'm just trying to remember if we played it any other since then.
Nope, that's been the only time. That was the high roller event over in London. If I remember, you went pretty well. You got a nice big stack early and did quite well.
Yeah, I finished 10th in that one. But you did well over there in the EPT, I think, in 07, wasn't it? You got
17th, I think it was 08. I can't remember. Well, maybe it was 07. Yeah, I got 17th or whatever over there. Yeah, I think it was the year before.
Okay, not bad. And then September you did well down there on the online player.
Yeah, the WCOP, I had a really good series. I had 3 final tables and like 7 caches. So.
7. Oh, wow. Not bad at all.
Now, I mentioned before, Chris, that I saw you when we were down in Tunica, and since you live in Memphis, is that kind of your hometown casino area, playing various poker rooms down in Tunica?
Yeah, I don't really go down there very much, to be honest. It's about a 45-minute drive, which is good. The games down there aren't that large, I guess, so for me, it's better just to get on PokerStars and play. When there's big tournaments down there, however, I'll drive down there, and I played in 4 of them while they were in town in January. And, you know, usually the big tournaments come in, I'll go down and check out the action and get in on a little bit of it.
I know while you were there, you finished second in a $400 tournament. And didn't you also do really well in a big PLO event down there?
I did well in a big PLO game. I don't know, event. The PLO event I wanted to play, I couldn't make it. There's only one PLO event, and that's what I was. That's really the only event I really, really wanted to play, and I had to miss it. Something came up at home, and it was only a $200 buy-in, but I really liked playing PLO. But unfortunately, I didn't get down to play it.
Yeah.
But I did well in the PLO side game.
You ended up going to the World Series similar to what I did. I did a $200 satellite here in St. Louis. I think yours was, what, a $39 satellite that got you into the big event.
Yeah, you overpaid for yours.
No.
but I guess your return on investment was just about the same because I think you won more than I did. So.
Yeah, you had about $2.5 million at that time.
Yeah,
I got
ripped.
No, I'm telling you, you had a better return on investment. You did. 39 to the 2.5, my 200 to 4.5. But I'll keep mine. That's okay.
I would trade with you any day, sir.
Hey, I'd love to trade for that gold bracelet. That's something I am still striving for, and you've got one, and that's damn hard to get. I'll tell you that.
Especially now, you know, you got 8,000 people in the field. You know, you got to run through a maze.
Oh, it's unreal. I mean, I know you've got a mess of stories too, but some of the things the landmines I sidestepped, and you know, you're so easy to step on one there.
It was amazing. Back when I won, there were not near as many landmines. You know how many all-ins I was when the year I won? How many times I was all-in with all my money?
Yeah.
One time.
No kidding. Oh,
one
my
time.
God.
How many times were you all-in before you went to the final table? I mean, when you were in July just playing there, Dennis, how many times did you go all-in?
All-in, I couldn't even count the number of times. But I will admit there was only one time I was all-in where I was dominated, where I really had to suck out, which was bad enough. I had nines and the other guy had pocket tens and I got a straight. So, you know, we won't talk about that hand and how well I played it.
While we're talking about the World Series of Poker, Chris, what are your plans for the 09 series?
My plans right now for the 09 series is to play the main event. That will be it. My wife's opening a children's clothing store in August. So that's going to keep me pretty much at home getting ready to open that up, helping her open that up. I'm really trying to let her talk her to let me go in out and play the 40K event, the new 40K, and then just whatever the 10K pot limit Omaha event. Those are the only three events I really want to play. Obviously, the main event I will be playing no matter what, but the other events, it's going to take some massaging and just have to see how the store's going. And the other problem I have is in June, my daughter's birthday is in June, so it always messes up my World Series schedule.
Yeah, but family comes first, absolutely.
Oh, of course. You know, if you don't have family, I don't want to be playing poker. So, you know, they dictate pretty much where I travel, where I go, and what I do. So,
have you been traveling a lot to a lot of other tournaments?
Actually, no. I played the Bahamas, obviously. Then I went down to Tunica, and I've been home since then. I haven't been anywhere. I haven't gone anywhere for about a month and a half. I've been playing online every night, and I'm sorry to play the Super Tuesday here on Poker Stars in a minute.
Well, what do you do in the end of March?
End of March, I don't know anything yet. I'm going to Argentina sometime in early April, and then I got Monte Carlo, but I'm not sure what I'm doing at the end of March.
Talk him into playing on our dream team.
That would be sweet. I don't know. I mean, check it out, and that's it. But if you have the dates available, the end of March, 27th, 28th, and 29th, is that Dream Team Poker at Caesars in Las Vegas, and it looks like it's going to be fun to play in.
I heard about that. You know, it sounds like a fun little event. I mean, I've played several teams events, mostly down in Australia, and they're always fun events. They actually made me play better because I'm a little bit more afraid to go broke when I've got a teammate.
Okay. I got a couple of teammates, too, that could do that. I'm afraid they're both bigger than me.
Hey, Chris, we were talking before about you qualifying online in 03 to get to the main event, and, of course, your name became synonymous with the explosion in online poker. You helped get PokerStars a big name and also helped a lot of young guys who wanted to get in there and follow in Chris Moneymaker's shoes. Nowadays, when I sit down at a live cash game, I find that a lot of these young guns have turned into a new hyper-aggressive kind of poker. Have you noticed that yourself, both in ring games and in online games?
Oh, without question. I mean, it's that's the new age of poker. I mean, you know, when I won the World Series, in 03, if you got re-raised, the guy had ace-king, aces, or kings. There were maybe queens. Those were the four hands you're looking at. Now you see guys flipping over queen five. I mean, that was unheard of back in 03. You know, a re-raise had a very tight range back then. And if you had, if you got four bet, then it was almost 99% aces or kings.
Yep.
There was no such thing as a 7-2 four bet, which you see nowadays. It's actually not, you know, too rare to, you know, ace-queen online's the nuts now. I mean, if you have ace-queen, your money's going in. But they play it really fast, really loose. And, you know, I think the online age has really spurned that in the fact that, I mean, they don't really care if you bust out of a tournament because there's one starting in the next minute. So, I mean, they gamble and, you know, they put themselves in good equity positions a lot of time by gambling and making someone lay down a pocket pair of eights, for example.
So how do you recommend somebody who isn't that hyper-aggressive, who may be a little bit more old school, play against somebody who is going to be pushing things around so much?
Well, you just got to realize what their range is. You know, your typical range of a guy that's sort of your old school player, it's going to be ace-king, ace-queen, aces-kings, tens and better, where their range is going to be very wide. So, you know, you got to get a hand. You know, like, even a king-queen is a good hand against a player like this. You play really snug. You play really tight. You don't. You want to. You know. Hopefully, you have position on this player. If you have position on the player, I take lots of flops with the player, and I try to flop something big and let him bury himself. But as the tournament gets deeper and the blinds get smaller, I wait for a hand. You know, for example, king queen, and I wait for him to raise, and I try to, you know, put it all in, and don't give him a chance to outplay me. And you know, a lot of times you're going to have a better range than what he's going to have. And but you just got to wait for your quality hands, and he's going to, more times than not, put it in bad, and you just got to hope it holds.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the times when your guy calls you with a seven deuce or pushes with a seven deuce, you call him and he catches two deuces on the flop. But that's poker. I mean, what the heck can you do?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I love to do, especially against someone like that, is, you know, early on in the tournament, re-raise his raises. If I see someone being really active, I like to re-raise a bunch and, you know, let him know that I'm not going to be pushed around, and hopefully giving a signal that I'm re-raising light. And then as the blinds get up and up, give him the opportunity to put the last bet in. You know, say he raises and I've got pocket kings, well, I'm going to make a smaller raise, hoping to get him to shove a 10-jack.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely going to trap a guy like that. That is a great philosophy on it.
Yeah, you don't really want to push a person like that all in. You want to give him a chance to make the mistake and push all in.
Yep. I agree 100%. I mean, because you always have to remember in the back of your mind, this guy can actually wake up to a hand, too.
Yeah, they all, you know, the aggressive guys always have hands as well. They get two cards as well, and they can wake up with aces.
Yeah. By the way, that's when I'm making a move on them. That's when I've seen them make a move with jack four, king five, you know, queen six and against other people, and we've seen their cards. And then I get into a hand against them. That's when they have aces.
You know, and you hear that a lot, and, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. You're going to pick the wrong spot. You know, you just got to make sure you have a quality hand when you go and you do it. I mean, you know, if the blinds are getting super high and you don't have the chance to pick a quality hand, you just got to hope that you pick a hand that's, you know, 60-40 hopefully against them and you go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Didn't you write a book a couple years ago, Moneymaker? Wasn't that one that you put out there?
Yeah, it was put out, I think, around 2005, 2004. It's sort of just my story and, you know, my run through the World Series.
Actually, a guy down the PCA down the Bahamas was talking about it. I've never read it yet, and I need to grab a copy of that and take a look at it. He said it was an interesting story.
It's a fun little story. I mean, you know, it's definitely an adventure. If you're a gambler growing up, or if you've ever been a gambler, you can relate to the story because I was a huge gambler up until the point of winning the World Series, and I sort of cut it off at that point.
A wife and daughter will do that to you.
I just cut it off.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure having you on here. I hope that we can work it out so that you can join us in Vegas at the end of the month. But if not, we'll see you on the circuit somewhere down the line, and certainly this summer at the main event out in at the Rio.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
I'll be there.
I'll see you in Monte Carlo, Dennis?
I'll be down in Argentina for sure. I'm not sure about Monte Carlo yet. It may not work out for me, but I'll be down in Argentina with you.
Sounds great. I'll see you then.
Now, don't pick on me.
Yeah, I think you picked on me last time, sir.
Chris, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Chris Moneymaker, like Dennis Phillips, a member of Team PokerStars Pro. here on the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Paul Harris and St. Louis's own poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips, on 590 The Fan KFNS.
The poker coach, Joe McGowan, joins us in just a couple of moments. A reminder to get in the free roll tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That's Wednesday, March 4th, 7 p.m. Central Time. Go to PokerStars, download the software if you don't have an account. Set one up. It's absolutely free. And go to the Tournament tab. And then under that, the regional tab, and this is for our listeners and readers in the Missouri and Illinois area. You can get in on PokerStars by using the free roll password Cardinals, as in the baseball team that Dennis Phillips supported each and every day with the hat he wore at the final table of the main event of the World Series of Poker. Now, before we get to the poker coach, Joe McGowan, I have a quick email for you from a listener by the name of Dan. And Dennis's email address, by the way, is DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. Pretty easy, DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. And Dennis, here's the email for you. Dennis, I had a bad day. I started with a bankroll of about $600. I've been playing $30 tournaments up to $100 tournaments around my area. I went out to play in a 2-5 game, and I pretty much lost everything. Felted. I knew I could beat the 2-5 game, but somebody hit a 2-outer on the river for a boat against my straight. Not much I can do, and I know they say everyone has gone broke, but now my confidence is at an all-time low, and I have no bankroll to play with. What should I do? Should I take time off and study the game, continue to play? I feel like I want to quit it, but I don't think I'm able to. I feel like I'm the best player around. I'm not being cocky. I'm just not sure where to go from here. What would you say to Dan?
Wow. Well, I see a couple of major mistakes there, Dan. Anytime you're playing for your entire bankroll, you're not going to play your normal game, or it's much harder to play it. You play a little tighter. You're not willing to push. And yeah, it's just extremely difficult to do that on it. Try never, ever to play for your entire bankroll in a game. I don't know. I've talked to Chris Ferguson. I've talked to a number of the other pros, and it varies on what percentage you're talking about playing. But it's if you have more than 10% of your money on the table at any given time, you're stretching it. To play your entire bankroll in a 2-5 game, especially if you're playing a live 2-5 now, instead of playing in the tournaments that you're more regularly playing on, because they are different. How you play them are different. Now, I think you need to keep playing. I think you need to get your confidence back, and I think the way you do that is to go back and play a couple of smaller tournaments. Maybe sit down at a smaller table instead of a 2-5. But definitely don't go throwing your whole bankroll out there in one particular setting. You lose everything on one hand, and anybody can lose one hand. I guarantee I've been there.
All right, Dan, thanks for writing to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. Keep the emails coming, and we'll get to more of them in future shows. We're joined now by the poker coach, Joe McGowan.
Oh. Hey, guys, how you doing this week?
You feeling a little better this week, Joe?
I am feeling a little bit better. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you sound normal now, so that's maybe a good thing.
Yeah, it was a rough week, but I'm better now.
Joe, we start your segment here with another email from another listener, a guy by the name of Steve, who says, I recently sat down at a no-limit table for the first time. I was very excited about playing in a ring game, but I knew I was in trouble right after I sat down, and I saw the smallest stack other than mine was about $500 when I was told the max buy-in was $300, and I had only brought $180 to play with. This was a 1-3 game, and I thought I'd be okay, but it became apparent that the minimum pre-flop raise would be 5 times the big blind, and the most common pre-flop raise would be 8 to 10 times. So I guess he's talking about he figured it would be about $15. It turned out to be $25 or $30 pre-flop. He says, without going into detail, I played a hand well before and after the flop, then really badly on the turn, and ended up losing about $80. With the blinds having come and gone a couple times, I was down to where calling the usual pre-flop raise would practically pot commit me. All I could do was fold to save face until my wife came and made me leave. In short, I had no fun and didn't really feel like I got to play. What is the answer here? What do you say, Joe?
Notice, Well, Dennis laughed first, so that kind of allowed me to be off the hook to laugh. But you know, hey, we feel for the listener. Did you say it was Steve? Was the email?
Yes.
You know where to begin here. I think really once he realized that, the best thing he should have done would be probably to pick up. You know, just go to a different game. You know, once you get in a spot where you're so overmatched and you don't have enough chips, you don't have enough money to play a whole hand on future streets. You know, if the preflop is someone's raising eight times, which is a big number, but in smaller games sometimes they do that. They raise that big and someone else calls, and now someone else either is trying to run a squeeze play or wakes up to pocket kings and they re-raise. Now you get to you and you have ace king or, you know, pocket sevens. I mean, you really can't play. You certainly can't call from the flop and then try to make a move or make a bluff on the turn or on the river, because now everybody's committed, you know, or they're committed to call you because you have so little left. So it really makes it difficult to play good poker being in that spot. So I think the quick best advice for me would have been, you may have been better off realizing, you know, this isn't quite the right game. I thought the stack sizes were going to be different. I don't have any extra money on me. It's my first time playing a live game. Let me pick up and go over and play a different size game. I think that probably would have been the way to start. I do have some thoughts to go a little further about, you know, what Dennis just said about the last caller. I thought was good advice to probably play in some smaller tournaments. I think that's good. I think sometimes playing in a smaller game, though, if this person would have picked up and went and played like 3-6 limit or 4-8 limit, sometimes even a 1-2 no limit, I think a lot of people don't realize, which is probably 95% of the poker community, you know, those are the size games. It's very rare you walk into a casino and they're playing 100, 200, no limit, and they have $100,000 each in front of them. That's an extremely rare sight that you just don't see. Most people are playing smaller games, but those games are extremely difficult to beat. You know, first off, most games are going to have smaller games. They're going to have a jackpot drop, which is a dollar. The smaller games many times are more of an expensive rake than the bigger games. I play in some bigger games, and they cut the players a little bit of a break on the rake, and you pay a less of a rake playing 25, 50 no limit or 10 and a quarter no limit than you do playing like a 1-2 or 2-5 no limit game. So the
rake is that because we're talking about such a large percentage of every pot is going into the rake, even though it may be capped at $4 or $5 with a bad beat draw, it still makes a bigger percentage of the amount of money that you can win in the pot?
Exactly. And I think when you factor in, too, that a lot of people in the smaller limit games, I'm always all for the dealers, Paul, and I want them to do well. And, you know, tipping is very personal. But in general, when you're trying to play, if your purpose is to go like the caller called in and the other caller and the other emailer, if you're trying to win, if you're trying to be a winning player, and if you're playing a lot of hands and you're playing a lot, if the average tip in a smaller game might be $4, the jackpot drop is, say, a dollar. If the average tip is $4 on average. Now, sometimes, you know, in the smaller games, it's pretty rare people tip a dollar, although depending upon where you're from, I'm sure a lot of people would tip that. But a lot of times a guy will win a $180 pot playing 4-8 limit or 1-2 no limit, and he'll tip the dealer $15. So if an average, just for the sake of argument, with the jackpot drop of a dollar, with the rake of $5, with a tip of $4, if it's $10 per hand, and, you know, at the end of an hour, if they're using the shufflers, if for the sake of argument, every half an hour a dealer gets in 20 hands, which could be a touch high, but some dealers do more than that. So for an hour is 40 hands, you're talking $400 off the table to break even. You know, so after just a, you know, 2.5 hours, you haven't won or lost a hand hypothetically. That's $1,000 down the tube into the jackpot drop, into the dealer box, and into the rake for the house, which at the end of the night, if you've ever stayed late, you know, it's hard for the guy that empties that to pick it up by himself. I mean, it's usually filled to the top, and it's, you know, a lot of money that's gone in there. I think game selection, it's a double-edged sword. If some of the players that are playing 3-6, 4-8, and 1-2, and they're keeping good records, which might be a whole other topic, and they're wondering why this game's so tough to beat and they feel like they're playing well, I think they're actually going to be better off. And why I say a double-edged sword would be because you might be going up against more skilled players. But if you're playing a 2-5 or a 5-10 game, you know, the average pot might be whatever, you know, pick, say, $400. You know, the rake and the tip doesn't really hurt you too much. But if you're playing for a $60, $70 average pot and it's $10 come on every time, you get to the end of the month, the end of the year, there's virtually probably close to nobody that's actually beating that game. It would be what I would call, and a lot of better players would call, close to an unbeatable game because of the rake, tips, and jackpot drop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I had a little technical problem there, but I'm back now. I heard the last half of this conversation on it and everything. And I love your take there on it, the percentages coming out. It makes it almost impossible for anybody to win at that game. You're there for the enjoyment more than anything else.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone over to friends of mine who are playing in a low-limit game. You know, maybe it's a 1-3 game, and they've each bought in for $100 or $200. And so there's maybe $2,000 on the table when they start out. And you go back a couple hours later, and now there's $1,800 on the table. Nobody's particularly up, and nobody's particularly down, and nobody's been beaten. But the house has been taking so much money out of every pot that they're playing for less. Now, there's no problem with a casino making money, but the players have to be aware of where that money's going when they look around and they say, how come nobody here is way up, and yet I'm down, and everybody's down? It's exactly that factor, and over-tipping, as much as we may love the dealers, you're right. I've seen people who win a $20 pot and tip the dealer $5.
Right.
Yep.
You see that all the time in the lower-limit games. Now, if you're at the Commerce or you're at the Bellagio and you watch the 25-50 game or the 20-40 at the Commerce no-limit games, you know, quite frankly, they tip a dollar or two, and the dealer taps the tray and says thank you very much, and they're happy. And, you know, remember, they're getting in a lot of hands in an hour and, you know, doing pretty good. I always like to take care of the deals. I hope I'm certainly not cheap. But, again, I'm just trying to take this from an advice standpoint of how to be a winning player. If you're playing, I think one of you guys just said, Dennis, you might have said it, if you're playing for enjoyment, if you're playing because you'd rather play poker and have fun instead of going to dinner and a movie, $150 or whatever that might be, and you don't mind, you know, trying to break even, but if you lose, you lose, and it's not a big deal, well, that's different. Tip, do whatever you want, play whatever game you want. But when you try to take it a little bit more serious, like a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people that have called in and emailed in, and you're trying to win, these are things you really want to think about. These are questions you really want to ask. You know, I went over to London with Dennis, and we went into, I think it was the Palms Casino. It was a very upscale, nice casino.
Oh, it's
they had
gorgeous
a 5-10 game going. I can't remember what the rake was, Dennis. I don't know if you do, but it was so astronomical, it was truly unbelievable. I mean, it was like impossible that anybody could beat that game. You know, at the end of a year,
now,
you know, add up all
Joe,
your specials.
It was only 15 and a half hour. That's 15 pounds.
Which is like $30.
Yep.
So you're talking about $60 an hour.
Yep.
You go to most casinos like the Bellagio that do a half-hour rake rather than taking a little bit out of each pot.
Right.
I think in the 5-10 game there, they're taking $6 a half hour as opposed to 15 pounds or $30 a half hour. So you're right. How do you possibly beat that?
You know, and again, add in the jackpot drop if there is one and add in the tips that you give. You know, to break even, you have to be an outstanding player and have outplayed all the other players and run well and the whole deal to break even. You know, if you try to get to the end of the month and you keep track, which I highly recommend that you do, you should always keep track of every session, the hours you play, the games you play, and how much you win and lose, to really be honest with yourself if you are winning or losing, and if you are losing, why, and kind of poke around and try to be a better player and figure out why. And, you know, I think a ton of it is just what I said. People are playing in too small of a game. You might want to gamble up a little bit, take a shot in a bigger game, and maybe play a little bit more solid or study up and take a shot with a little tougher players to have a chance to beat the game.
Well, the one thing you said there, though, you need to keep records. So many people don't realize that. You really need to keep records of it and see exactly where you're at.
Absolutely right. All right. More great advice from the poker coach, Joe McGowan. Thanks so much, Joe. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll see you, Dennis. See you, Paul.
All right, take care.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. We'll come back with the poker lawyer, Josh Schindler, with the legalities of home games right after this.
Taking you from the flop to the river, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris talking poker at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Before we bring in the poker lawyer, Josh Schindler, let's plug the free roll for Wednesday night yet again for people who may have just been joining us here in this part of the show.
Real simple, guys. Go to PokerStars.net. Get logged on if you are not. When you get up there to their screen, do the tournament tab at the top, then do the regional one, and it'll pop up about 10 or 12 different tournaments. You want the one that says Dennis Phillips on it. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Central Time on that. Zero cost, of course. That's what the free roll is. First place is $1,000, second $500, and on down the line. Need to sign on to it, guys. When you sign on, the one thing you have to have is the password, and that is very simple. Cardinals. That's with an S on the end. Cardinals. Obviously, somehow or other, they associated that with me. I don't know how.
Well, it may have been the hat, including the hats that you're going to give away to the people who come in towards the end of the final table who don't maybe win the $1,000 or the $500. And I got a text message from my friend Jim who wants to know why there's a bounty on your head but not on my head. And the answer, of course, is because I won't last a half hour. Hopefully, Dennis will make it a lot deeper into the tournament than I will. You're a much better tournament player than I am, as proven by your finish at the main event.
But I've seen so many of these tournaments. I do a lot of the charity tournaments, and they put a bounty on me, and it's almost like people are drooling to get in a hand with me. It doesn't make a difference what they have.
Yeah.
So I probably will not be in the tournament very long, but I'll give it my best shot. We'll see what happens.
Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, go get your PokerStars software downloaded, open your account for free, and then register for the Dennis Phillips free roll under the Regional Tournaments tab on PokerStars. Time now for the poker lawyer, Josh Schindler, who's brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance. PPA.org is the website. This is the group that fights for poker players' rights, both online and offline. They've got thousands of members across the country. Our friend Greg Raymer is a major spokesperson for them. Dennis Phillips is going to be going to Washington to lobby Capitol Hill about it sometime this spring. It is a game that needs defense from people who want to fight it at every corner, and that's what the PPA does, the Poker Players Alliance. Become a member today by going to ppa.org. Now the poker lawyer, Josh, joins us to talk a little bit about home games. We delved into this a couple of weeks ago, Josh. You were talking about some of the games going on in some of the states like Texas and South Carolina that got raided. What about here in the Midwest, in Missouri and Illinois? If I want to have a game in my basement, am I breaking the law?
Both Missouri and Illinois, the attorney generals from both states have taken the position consistently that you cannot have a home poker game. And it's interesting because most states have a distinction between a game of chance and a game of skill. And Missouri, in particular, has an interesting way of defining the types of games of contest of chance that are illegal. In Missouri, they say, means any contest or game where the outcome depends in a material degree upon an element of chance, notwithstanding that the skill of the contestants may also be a factor therein. And Missouri has taken the position in the attorney general. We have a new attorney general in the state of Missouri, but even the prosecutors in St. Louis County and St. Louis City have consistently taken the position that home games are illegal. As a lawyer, therefore, I can't participate in them, and that's why I play at the beautiful Lumiere Hotel and Casino. So it is certainly my suggestion that a good lawyer could at least argue that this is more a game of skill than it is of chance, but I wouldn't take the risk.
Do we have a lot of cases in Missouri of cops breaking down doors and busting up home games?
There haven't been a lot. This has not been a focus of Missouri. That's not saying that the police won't do it. Other states, for example, Kentucky is taking a very hard line, and some of the southern states are taking a hard line on this. We haven't quite had that in Missouri. I will tell you, having said that, Missouri has focused. Both Jay Nixon, who's now the governor of the state, and the U.S. Attorney's Office have taken an unbelievable hard line on internet gambling. But they've not really focused on the home games. Illinois, let me tell you, is a different, despite the fact that the President of the United States, who's from Illinois, is a known poker player. Illinois, it's very clear on the face of the statute that it covers poker. And because they define gambling as a person who plays a game of chance or skill for money. And so there's no question under the Illinois statute, there's no wiggle room. You could argue on the Missouri statute, there is wiggle room, but that language that we talked about previously, Paul, where even if it's a game of skill, where luck factors in could be a little bit problematic. So, and on top of that, look, you've got to look at federal statutes. There are federal statutes out there where the feds have come, and there are people who have been convicted in other states of violating the federal statute.
Well, basically, the short answer is, yes, it's illegal, but are you going to get busted out? Well, not because they're going to bust down the door and maybe find their judge or their police chief playing in the dang-on game.
Well,
that's what's going to happen. Is it illegal? Sure, right now. Should it be? No, it shouldn't.
Absolutely not, and we need to get you, Dennis, to go to not just Capitol Hill, but Springfield and Jefferson City, and make some little speeches there and explain to them why it's ridiculous for government to get involved in the recreational activities of people in their own basements with their own money.
I agree 100%. That's just so ludicrous. I'm telling you what, we ought to bust down a door and find Obama playing a game and see what happens on the headlines.
Well, I've got to tell you that the fact of the matter is you're going to be hard-pressed to find a judge, a prosecutor, anybody else who doesn't play in a home game periodically. And that's why we have the PPA, and that's why we need the PPA, and we need people to lobby.
Josh Schindler, the poker lawyer. You'll find him online at thepokerlawyer.com, and you'll find the Poker Players Alliance online at ppa.org. You'll find Dennis Phillips online at theshipleader.com, where you can catch up with podcasts of this show you may have missed, and also instructions on how you can subscribe via iTunes to get these podcasts every week. We'll see you online at Poker Stars at 7 o'clock Wednesday night for the free roll. And we'll see you back here next Tuesday, hopefully with the technical difficulties overcome, here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table.